I am not anywhere near as English as I sound because I have English, Welsh, Scots and French grandparents. And I grew up in a number of different cultures in southwest London in the Streatham Hill area. Anybody from the best part of the world? Oh, well, we all have our cross to bear. And Streatham Baptist Church, Loom Road, was my home church from the age of 16. I'm still in touch with some people there. And my friend Howard, who was my baptismal helper, and I, we went out for a lunch in Wetherspoons of Croydon. We know how to live the fast life. And we celebrated 50 years of friendship. And just a few weeks ago, I celebrated 60 years of friendship with an infant school friend. And we were at Battery Grammar School together. I know I don't look old enough to have friends of 50 and 60 years duration. And it's cost BMS World Mission quite a lot of money to make me look as young as I am today. But it's, as I said earlier, it's 40 years ago that I came back. Now, I'm going to be sharing now a talk from Nick Lingard, and hopefully we should have some slides, starting with the BMS logo, please. Very good. And slide two, please, the title, The Body of Christ, We're All Part of It. No, we've got the wrong slideshow. Oh dear. Well, anyway, so there doesn't seem to be a lot of tie-up. So this should have been sent direct to you. Anyway, so you should now be seeing a photo of Nick Lingard, who is the Church Engagement Team Manager at BMS World Mission. And we're going to be looking at some different parts of the Bible today, thinking about the body of Christ and its response in times of crisis. And the fact that we're all part of his body. And we'll weave some stories throughout from BMS and have it wrapped up with 20 to 30 minutes, he said. So we're well on track for lunch at midday. So anyway, do we have slides 4 and 5 with extra clicks for animation? Not at all. Oh, well, they're totally lost without trace. I'm going to read to you 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 27. If you have a Bible, please open it. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 27, which is on page 1153 of the Church Bible. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 15. You're missing out on animation on the screen. Right. So 1 Corinthians 12, 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. There are many parts, but one body. We should be seeing a picture of Chad, so just imagine Africa in your mind's eye, please. Some of you will recognise this picture. It's a scene of the soon-to-be house of Mark and Andrea Hodgkin in Bardai, Chad. And this picture, your imaginations are going to be working overtime today, is Daniel, and he is one of several skilled masons from the south who have travelled north to build villas for the very rich in Bardai.
Is this the slides that I gave you copies of?
No, we've had that. We've had that.
Oh, okay.
Yes. It is Daniel and his team who helped to work out how to make a toilet by using the land and not digging through hard volcanic rock. Where Mark and Andrea live is vital to their work in Guinibor too. It provides security in a difficult territory, connection in an isolated land, and escape from the intensity of hospital life. Without Daniel's masonry skills and local knowledge, we can't have Mark and Andrea's medical skills. So, in other words, we need doctors, we need medics, we need trained nurses, but we also need more simple and humbler tasks like masons as well. And just imagine another slide of Chad at this point. Without Mark and Andrea's medical skills, we won't have the identification and treatment of those with the awful disease leishmaniasis. If you haven't heard of leishmaniasis before, you're not alone. Neither had anyone in this part of Chad, Bardai, a desert community in northern Chad. No one except Andrea and Mark, the medics, who recognised the disease straight away when a 12-year-old boy was brought into the hospital. It's a disease that affects either the skin or the internal organs and is restricted to the poorest parts of the world. It's not financially lucrative enough to attract attention of most pharmaceutical companies. Now, thanks to BMS World Mission workers Andrea and Mark, the involvement of the country's Ministry of Health and the World Health Organization, a national treatment plan is on the verge of being rolled out. Just imagine another BMS medical worker, Kabasai, in chat at the moment. We unfortunately live in a broken world. All of us will have experienced some sort of chaos, disaster and conflict. They happen everywhere. Obviously, there's conflict in the Ukraine, economic collapse in Sri Lanka, ongoing crisis in Lebanon, and of course we're still coming out of the whole of the pandemic. We see earthquakes and cyclones happen seemingly indiscriminately around the world. The only small amount of consolation we can find in these events is that they've always happened across the globe, irrespective of geographical location, relative wealth, or political views. This means, to some small extent, we all experience the pain and suffering that our sisters and brothers have felt. Going back to the very fall of creation, there's been something wrong somewhere in the nature of the human race. In Genesis, we grieve with Noah as we see the earth being destroyed. In 2 Kings 18, we read of the invasion of the Assyrian army. Prior to the exile, the city of Lachish was surrounded and attacked. The army moved on to Jerusalem, but it was saved because it repented. As soon as he died, the city was captured and sent into exile. We see some of the to-ing and fro-ing of cities being under threat, having the threat withdrawn, then attacked in the Ukraine today. It must be exhausting, if not worse, for the people there, as we've already heard. Even Jesus was in conflict, overthrowing tables in the temple. Today, I suspect that will be classed as an act of civil disorder. So keep that in mind. The experience of pain and crisis is shared across the centuries of the Christian Church. Paul reflects in Corinthians the reality of our church family, as we just read. We're one body. When one part hurts, the others hurt. When one part rejoices, the others rejoice with it. And I believe this extends to communities around our church. They may not know it, but they are part of our family, God's creation. And Paul highlights the example of the churches in Macedonia too. In 2 Corinthians 8, we read of the call of the church in Corinth to give generously because others are doing so. In verse 2, it says, they, being the churches of Macedonia, are being tested by many troubles and they are very poor. But they are also filled with abundant joy that has overflowed in rich generosity. There's something so profound here that we can be encouraged by all these years later. The joy that we have in Christ that grounds us in our life is a joy that our family, the body of Christ, has had through the years. And this is what has driven people to respond in times of crisis, to see that generosity overflowing to the communities around us. In our imaginary slideshow, we're now moving to Afghanistan. And this is a picture of Ruby. That's not her real name. And many of the names of people that I'm referring today and that you'll see in the literature that hopefully you'll be helping yourselves to later, they are different names. And when I was in Norwich a couple of years ago, just before Christmas, before last, sharing with BMS World Mission, I went out for lunch with the mission leader at Central Baptist Church. And there was a young woman, and Joy may have been her name. I didn't know her as that, because as I've already said, it's too dangerous for Christian workers in places like Afghanistan and also in Chad to be up front. They have to use assumed names in order that they can do their work in a subtle but doubtless very successful way. Ruby travelled to Afghanistan at a time of crisis, and she's helped generously to the communities around her. Before the evacuation in August 2 years ago, Ruby used her agricultural expertise to create a food forest with apple, pear, plum and walnut trees. Up in the rural mountains of Afghanistan, where the winter melt can mean the difference between having enough to eat in the spring or utter despair, the forest attracted attention of families in the surrounding villages coming to ask about how to look after the fruit, feed and prune them. Ruby, gosh, how brave is this? She went back to Afghanistan in May of last year. She went safely back to work and living in her usual town. Back at her project work, which is continuing quietly with local staff in her absence. How moving it is that there is such dedication backed by our prayers and concern. We now move imaginarily to Nepal. We saw a slide of Gusau. From one isolated mountain community in Afghanistan to this other one in Nepal. Gusel, which was the theme of our harvest theme last year. After the villagers heard about the work of our partners on the ground, the multi-purpose community development service, once they'd heard what they'd done in another Nepali village, Ikodol, they were made to bring transformation to their own community. It was the centrepiece of last year's harvest appeal. And through that appeal, I believe we saw a picture of him earlier. We met Bhushu, Parbati and their family. They had dreams of agricultural as well as medical and educational development. And BMS World Mission helped them with their community to bring better education, improved livelihoods and flourishing health to an entire village. Bishu didn't allow himself to dream too big. He's a 36-year-old granddad with four daughters and a grandson, relying on him. "If I were to have too many dreams, I think they might just remain dreams," he said, talking to the local film crew from BMS World Mission. They commissioned to gather stories for the Good Land Harvest appeal. Prabhati, his wife, struggled at first when she was asked about her dreams for her community. "I don't know," she says. "I want it to be good, right? I wish my family would have happiness and peace." But spread across three hills in the mountains of Nepal, Gusel, where Bishnu and Parvati live, is breathtakingly beautiful. It can be incredibly hard to reach. As a whole, it's a very isolated community. They have scarcity of water. They don't have proper sanitation facilities. And the health posts are very far away. And they're marginalised in so very many ways. There are more than 400 families living in Gusel village, each with their own dreams, struggles and stories. And through our Good Land appeal last harvest, you and many other churches have partnered with people to help them transform their village. And giving for the harvest appeal last year, BMS World Mission broke records and £170,000 was reached, which is quite phenomenal in this country at our time of economic hardship. We praise God and we thank God for all the progress that has been made. As we move towards the end of this piece, imagine now Mozambique. Sometimes it's hard through the situations of people that we hear about, hard to understand and empathise. Perhaps it's easier when we ourselves are going through a tough time. We can sit and cry with them. When that tough situation is far away, like in Nepal, how can we relate to that? Or how about when life's difficulties just seem to be so overwhelming, as they must have done to some of the communities we've read about and referred to in the Bible? The body of Christ, which is the heart of this talk, is a hard and confusing and sometimes overwhelming when we try and get into it. A really helpful analogy is thinking about our own bodies, like Paul did in that reading that I gave just now. When you get a cut, now I haven't got a cut to show you, but I have a burn to show you. You have no idea how that looked 10, 11 days ago. I was just warming some mushrooms through and warming some chinchilla through, and this nasty globule probably, went out the frying pan, and it's been treated with germaline ever since. Sometimes we get a cut that's really deep and hurting. Sometimes they start to bleed. Now, if you just left it to bleed, depending on the size, several things happen. If it's small, you register it as pain in a part of your body. But the parts around it jump into action to support it. The blood vessels nearby do their thing. The blood starts to clot. If it's a bigger cut, then more of the body is required to support it and heal it. It draws on resources from around the body. That's why sometimes we go faint or into shock or dizzy. Resources are being drawn from further away to respond. So the whole body is still keenly aware that there is a pain somewhere, even if it's not visible, immediately responding. But if you don't get used to telling your body these things, it happens naturally. It happens organically. There is synergy threaded throughout our bodies, and our bodies do just this. And that is what Paul is writing about in his letter to the church in Corinth. A synergy, a cooperation between the parts running through the body of Christ. So where does that leave us in the current day body of Christ here in Woodingdean? I think there are several things. We are allowed to hurt. Throughout the Bible, we see parts of the body of Christ calling out hurt. We expect other people to be hurting within the body of Christ, and they are expecting us to support them. And there's a need to have an emotional response. Our physical bodies cry out in pain. When that fat leapt out on my forearm last week, people were quite shocked. All I said was, "Oh!" But I was so shocked. The emotional response was much deeper than that, and so was the physical response. Our spiritual bodies call out in pain and in prayer for what we see around the world. The one common thing that energizes as we pray with people around the world, as they respond to crisis affecting them in their communities, so every time without fail, knowing that people are praying around the world, such an encouragement. They literally can't do it without the prayers. And there's a practical response as well. There are times when it's appropriate or needed to respond practically. There might be gifts in kind, donations or items or finance. And what we see through the Bible is that these responses are in context and appropriate. We see Jesus crying out to God in prayer for his people. Noah obviously built an ark that was the right size. Joseph stored grain. He didn't start storing dairy products or blankets. It was grain. It's perhaps a silly thing, but our physical body provides the right things in response to heal. Do we provide the right things in response to our spiritual body and the body of Christ? In fact, the body of Christ is the perfect mechanism for responding to a crisis. Time after time, we've seen churches respond in the most amazing ways. They know their communities, their people, their context. They're agile, they're sensitive and incredible. And we've seen during the ongoing responses to the Ukrainian war that churches are the ones that are actually able to respond. We've heard from multiple other bigger agencies that 100 days later, they were only just really beginning to get going in their response. But churches were preparing and responding in Ukraine up to 2-3 weeks before the 24th of February last year when it all kicked off, and have been responding ever since. It's an incredible network, and it's not just a coincidence that Paul used the physical body as an example for the family that we are part of. And so, in just a moment, we're going to hopefully watch a short video on the Ukraine. I conclude with the body of Christ, of which we are all a part. BMS World Mission will remain supporting in countries and situations like those shared, working together with amazing people to spread the good news of Jesus and help those in need. We've seen this particularly happening in Poland, as I said, where churches like this one have responded. They are the body of Christ. And now we're going to watch to conclude, hopefully, the Ukraine response video, which takes Isaiah 43:2 as its soul. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. Thank you. Okay. Jolly good. We have a video.
We've seen God doing some great things in this past year, so we want to give thanks for some new workers and some new places where the gospel is being shared for the first time. And we want to give thanks as well for the direction of the Baptist Church is here, thinking about mission and where God is leading us for the future.
Jesus came in this area where there is so much need for hope and healing. 2022. I've seen God moving, and it was amazing to see a lady that we thought she has cancer. After we prayed for her, because we couldn't remove the mask, and while we prayed for her, she stayed for long in the hospital, but she was totally dead after we did an ultrasound, but she was fine. The mask had disappeared. That's a God miracle. So we praise God for that.
One exciting thing that's happened during these last 12 months is all the work that I've been doing trying to build capacity of the occupational therapists, being an occupational therapist myself, is that finally, 20 years in, we are now recognised as a profession and have been given a certificate to say that we exist as a group here in Nepal. There are 9 Nepali OTs now working in Nepal, 5 of whom are Christians.
So how have I seen God working in Attitude in 2022? Well, working in the pharmacy, we have to make sure that we have a good supply of medicines, and that isn't always easy. The supply chain here can be a bit flimsy, and sometimes we get right to the last few tablets or the right few ampoules or something, and we're kind of scratching our heads as to whether we're going to get any more. Sometimes these are really required medications that we can't live without. But God always comes through for us, even with like half an hour to spare sometimes, but we always manage to get exactly what we need when we need it.
We're looking for the Adwell Farsa project, which is taking up shape regularly. We've been sowing in front of now growing retreats to conserve environment, but also to provide variety for themselves. So that is what God is doing.
When I first started looking about creating stewardship here in the churches about a year and a half ago, I saw a lot of blank expressions. But after a year of building relationships, giving talks, workshops, just persevering with prayer, the churches have really started to see that this is a biblical issue, but not only that, this is a way for them to continue to impact and serve their communities and generate new opportunities for sharing the gospel.
The year 2022, we've seen God's heart, we've seen God's work, we've seen God's provision also the year. I've seen an effect when we started the year, it's about the whole, we've seen God's heart come through, and so God's thank you so much for this provision.
We've seen God work in some really exciting ways this past year. One of these has been that we've been lifting up the love for COVID restrictions, and that has unlocked more opportunities to go into rural communities to give legal education on a wide range of topics, from marriage to document registration to inheritance to legal trafficking.
God sent Jesus, his only son, to the world to show us great love so we can all have and share his abundant love. That's such a massive privilege.